You are listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 159, Modern Day Babylon. Are you feeling the call to homeschool and you're not sure what to do? Or maybe you are already homeschooling and it doesn't look like what you hoped it would. My name is Megan Thomas and I'm a certified life coach, a mother of seven, and a homeschool pro with more than a decade of experience. I can show anyone how to create success in their homeschool, and I'd love to show you how. Are you ready? All right. Welcome back to another week. I am happy to report that I have a voice again, so hopefully that makes it easier to understand me. That was a little rough last week. I actually had to pause multiple times on the app that I record this on to sit and cough, but I obviously was, those of you who watch on YouTube know that I wasn't able to pause that, so you just got to endure me coughing. So yes, anybody who knows what to do, I just get a dry throat randomly. I don't know if it's because we live in the desert or whatnot, but anyways, anybody who has great tips for helping with dry throat, send them my way. I would love that. All right. I have been working so hard on this event coming up in June to create an awesome homeschool. I even have on my I Am Awesome t-shirt as I record this because I love that word. We've had awesome club in my family. I had an awesome club in our homeschool co-op. It's just a great word. So this is going to be the two-hour event where I'm going to really help you build a solid foundation in your school, because so many people get hung up on curriculum. Like, what curriculum should I use? That's one of the next to social stuff. That's another big question I hear. And it's a valid concern. But if you are worrying about curriculum and you haven't built a solid foundation, then your curriculum's really not going to matter. So please come and join me on June 25th from 1 to 3 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can just watch the recording later. You'll have access to it. I'll just email the recording right out to you. So you'll always have access to that. My throat's already dragging. And I'm teaching you how to build that solid foundation. So this is whether you are new to homeschooling or even if you've been homeschooling for a while. And I was thinking about this with foundations, as if you're building a new home, right, you start with a really solid foundation. But the temple in Salt Lake City, Utah, they recently just put the whole temple up and they're fixing the foundation so that the temple can last even longer. So wherever you are, your foundation might have some cracks in it. So if it's a new build, then like, let's get a solid foundation going. And if you've been homeschooling for a while and your foundation has some cracks in it, let's fix those cracks. And then you get to build this amazing homeschool on top of that. So I would love to have you join me. With that, you're going to get a free download of Create Your Homeschool Year workbook. So those of you who are worried about curriculum, don't worry, I've got you covered. You're going to get a free copy of Create Your Homeschool workbook. They'll be doing live Q&A throughout it. I have it set up where I'm doing little segments and then I will turn it open to live Q&A. So I can just answer your calls right then and there, your calls, your questions, and really help you feel really confident and comfortable with your homeschool. Also, as a special treat, I talked to my lovely friend Karen Tripp, who used to be on the podcast with me, and she is going to be creating a bonus video that we will just send out. It'll be about 20 to 30 minutes long of her with creating some of her fun content that she does for homeschool. So you are not going to want to miss that. You can go to www.coachmegthomas.com and click on events up at the top. Or you can go to my Instagram and my bio. You can click there. And I will also put a link in the show notes. So go and check that out and let's have some fun. All right. So today I want to talk about Babylon. What is Babylon? From Bruce R. McConkie in Mormon Doctrine, it says, Babylon was known as the center of iniquity, carnality, and worldliness. Everything connected with it was in opposition to all righteousness and had the effect of leading men downward to the destruction of their souls. So let's explore some of these words a little bit. My husband and his linguistics degree has rubbed off on myself and my children. A lot of times when they give talks, they're like, let's describe these words. Let's break down the roots. I'm actually not going to break down the roots, but just what do they really mean? So iniquity. Iniquity just means gross injustice, wickedness, or sin. So the center of iniquity would then mean it was the center of wickedness or the center of sin. The next word is carnal. I hope I'm saying this word right, but like carnal, carnality is how I'm pronouncing it, but carnal. which means relating to or given to crude bodily pleasures and appetites, gluttony, and other carnal activities. Another definition is marked by sexuality, carnal love. Another definition, bodily. I don't know. I struggle with some of these words. Corporeal. I don't know how that word is. Seen with carnal eyes. Another definition I found is pertaining to or characterized by the flesh or the body, its passions and appetites, sensual, carnal pleasures, not spiritual, merely human, temporal, worldly, a man of secular, rather carnal learnings. And this one I thought was interesting. It says, if you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you are carnally minded. Carnal is where we get the word meat. Carne is the Spanish word for meat, and we see that carnally minded is to live after the things that animals live for, essentially. And animals really just, they eat, they reproduce, they have sex, right? And like die. That's basically like they're not doing a whole lot more than those few things. Maybe they play a little bit as well. Then the last word I want to explore is worldliness. So a definition from the Guide to the Scripture says, unrighteous desires and efforts for temporal riches and material goods while forsaking spiritual things. So let's put that together. Babylon was known to be the center of wickedness and sin. It was known for being sexual and giving into pleasures and gluttony. And people there were focused on things of this world and wanting riches while forgetting things of the Spirit. This place was known for leading men and women downward to the destruction of their souls. So Babylon has become a symbol of wickedness and evils of the world. And you can find a lot of references throughout the scriptures of warning us about becoming a Babylon, right? So it's become kind of the symbol of wickedness and to be careful. So last week I was studying and it was interesting. I always love when this stuff happens when I'm studying something and I happen to listen to a talk and I will have a phrase jump out and then somebody will recommend a book and I read it and a phrase will jump out at me, right? And it's just, I love when things like the Spirit is trying to tell me like, you need to be studying this. So a phrase that jumped out at me is that Zion and Babylon cannot coexist. So let's explore Zion real quick. Zion is defined as the pure in heart. The Lord called his people Zion because they were of one heart and one mind and dwelt in righteousness. And there was no poor among them. To create Zion, we need to become unified in one heart and one mind, become individually and collectively a holy people, and care for the poor and the needy. So many contrasts from Babylon to Zion, right? Here we have Babylon. It is a center of sin, a center of sexuality, a center of just carnal-minded, right, and worldliness. Zion is a righteous people and holy people. And to me, a righteous and a holy person isn't really going to desire committing sin or to be over the top sexual, having, and their sexual experiences would be with one partner and within the bonds of marriage, right? But somebody who is carnally minded is just wants sex and wants to have those pleasures and those types of things. Babylon is worldly, where people are worried about their riches and they forget others. Zion helps take care of the poor and the needy. They couldn't be more polar opposites. Good and evil, right and wrong, right? So the thought that keeps coming to me is that Zion cannot exist in Babylon, or the Zion and Babylon cannot coexist. When I'm coaching someone and they decided to leave public school and start homeschooling, I have often heard stories about how terrible public schools are getting. It's interesting because other than my own experience or my husband's experience, I'm not really involved in the public school. My oldest did a year of private school of kindergarten, and none of my kids have ever done public school. So a lot of my information is just coming from other people. So when somebody I'm coaching, because I coach the whole gambit, right? Some people are coming from public school or even private school, charter school, anything like that. And then they've decided to switch for whatever their reason is. Some people are always wanting to homeschool. So they're coaching with me right from the beginning. And but so the things I've heard from those who are coming from, and I'm just going to lump it in a school, but usually from public school, these are some of the things that I am hearing from my clients are kind of telling me what's going on in schools. And this is in my own state in Utah, but also across the country of the United States. So I have been told how people's experience that they have had teachers who were at one time married to the opposite gender and then decided to come out and be gay. And when they came out and decided to be gay, then they tried to get students to start becoming gay also, and grooming them and helping them and showing them how to become a homosexual as well. I have heard how many kids, young kids, like all through the ages, elementary, junior high, high school, are deciding to become different genders and becoming transgender. Or even a furry. What is a freaking furry? I had to Google it to make sure, but here is the answer I got. A furry is a person who strongly identifies, and I hope I say this word right, anthropomorphic animals and creates fursonas, identities of themselves as those as anthropomorphic animals. So basically, they are an animal. They think they are an animal. Oh, I went to drink water, but it's empty. Oh, well. This is on top of stuff that a lot of people already knew existed in schools. Sex, lots of sex, porn, foul and crude language, disconnect from parents, a lot of teenage angst of just that disconnect from your parents. My parents are stupid. They don't know anything. And drugs that belong in schools, that belong, not belong, but are in schools, just to name a few. So what I got curious about is if I was looking at this information from a very biased lens, because I'm speaking to people who are frustrated and are wanting to get out of the school system, and this just isn't working for them anymore. So I decided to ask some mamas who love public school and think it's amazing. And I wanted to hear their point of view and see if I am just looking at this with a completely jaded, biased telescope. So I asked these mamas who their kids go to public school, and these mamas, I made sure that they all love public school, and they have no desire to homeschool. They have no beef with me homeschooling, but that's beside the point, but just like letting you know where they're coming from. They will have all of their kids go to school. They love it. They think it's a great organization. They have no intention of doing anything else. So I was very curious to see what school was like from somebody with that perspective. So as I asked them, they did tell me that they did have certain teachers that they really liked. And teachers that they really liked, they played an awesome role in their kids' life and just things that they were helping them with. Their kids also were involved in some clubs or activities that have been really great for their kids and that they really appreciated. But this is what was interesting. I told them about some of the things I had heard about homosexuality, transgender, sex, drugs, furries, all this other stuff. And they all told me, oh yeah, that's all over in the schools, everywhere. You can't avoid it. One mom went on to tell me that her daughter, who is in fourth or fifth, I cannot remember, has a student that has decided she is a furry and she dresses up as an animal and the teacher has to refer to her as her furry name. And she just can decide to be an animal and the teacher has to respect this child for being a furry. Not that the teacher would need to be disrespectful, but there's no, like, we are humans when we're in class. Like, you can just be whatever it is you want. But as far, let's see. Yes. So all the stuff with homosexuality, transgender, on top of just the regular sex, drugs, language, all of that stuff. They're like, oh yeah, that's everywhere in the school. Even in my area, and so this was in my area, which Utah again is known for being highly Christian area, and so a lot of times, it's referred to as Happy Valley for a reason, and so it was really interesting to me that this is happening right in my own neck of the woods, where like it is known for really being a hardcore Christian community. It's interesting to me that a teacher in this area. She was teaching at a charter school and she recently just resigned because of a TikTok video she made. So this teacher identifies as queer and she was talking about how great it is that her students who had been in her fourth grade class were now in fifth grade, were coming to visit her and talking about how they were queer or gay or lesbians and how wonderful it was that these kids can just have the safe space of somebody to come to talk about all these things. First of all, I'm not getting into any debate about homosexuality or anything like that, but I believe gender is an essential and eternal trait. I believe that we are men are men and women are women. And so I'm not getting into debate about all of those things, but I just find it interesting that this truly does exist of all these teachers becoming queer or gay or whatever they identify as. And you can't tell me that that doesn't have an influence on a child that is trying to figure out who they are and what they stand for. So it's so interesting that more and more of these things are coming out. And with the high number of kids all of a sudden like, well, I guess I am a lesbian, or I guess I am gay, or I guess I'm all of these other things, right? Or if it's not that, then like, I guess I'm a sexual object, or I guess I'm just supposed to have sex in high school or whatever it is. Just the language they hear and all those types of things. If school doesn't sound like a modern day Babylon, friends, I don't know what does. There is so much sin and wickedness, and what is going on? All the carnal stuff that is going on, the sexualization of children, these, I mean, there are just crazy things in different states of what you can teach young children, how you can choose your gender as you're really a young child. And it's just wrong. So the worldliness of also of schools, of having the right look and the right money and the right appearance and all those types of things. So this is what I find interesting, because I have heard many people make the argument that their kids need to be in public school so that it can help balance things out, or that their kids gets an opportunity to be a light. So first of all, I receive absolutely no revelation for any other family out there. So truly, if you have prayed about this and you have had an awesome experience of like, this is best for our family, then more power to you. But to me, the argument is a bit like thinking, I want to clean the septic tank, so I'm going to put this clean water bottle in it, and I'm going to hope that that cleans the septic tank. If school is the septic tank, and your kid is this clean water bottle, and you put this clean water in a septic tank, that water is going to be pretty dirty here pretty quick, and it's not going to clean the tank. So after talking to these mamas in their public school experience, I went home that night, and I gave the biggest prayer of gratitude for all those years ago that I was inspired to pull my kids out and homeschool them. This isn't to say that my kids aren't ever exposed to anything or that homeschool has been absolutely perfect, but I'm so grateful that my kids get to learn values from my husband and me and not from the world and not from Babylon and getting told that like, this is right and this is wrong. And it's so interesting because in the scriptures it says, and in that day, good will be called bad and bad will be called good. And it's so interesting how these kids are just getting this warped idea of good and wrong. I am trying to create a Zion in my home, and Zion and Babylon cannot coexist. I believe that this is a reason that so many mamas are feeling this call to homeschool. It is happening in droves. And so many mamas, it was so interesting because I get an opportunity to speak to the most amazing women. And it was so interesting how when COVID hit, all these mamas had said, I had had a feeling to homeschool before, and COVID kind of just was the push I needed to do it. And it's been amazing. Or it's hard, but now it's becoming amazing. They just know that it's not safe to be in Babylon anymore. From the churchofjesuschrist.org on the fall of Babylon and the establishment of Zion, it says this: spiritual Babylon will fail in utter ruin. Prophets have foretold the fall of Babylon the Great. The saints of God are commanded to flee out of the midst of Babylon. The Lord will not spare anyone that remains in spiritual Babylon. And it says, all the righteous will rejoice that righteousness has replaced wickedness at the eventual fall of Babylon. Mamas, keep going. I know you have hard days. I know you have days where you're wondering, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I just feel like I'm failing, and I don't know what I'm doing. But keep building your Zion. Zion is going to stand. Babylon will fall. Keep building your Zion in your home and homeschool. And know that as you do this, God will fill in the gaps. In Ether chapter 12, verse 27, it says, and if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. As you have faith in our Savior, he will help you as you make this transition to become this amazing homeschool mama and build a Zion in your own home. Okay, friends, I love you so much. Keep up the amazing work, and I'll talk to you next week.
Are you ready to take the concepts learned on this podcast to the next level? Then I invite you to join Mama's Members, a place where I will help you succeed in your family and homeschool beyond what you thought was possible. You will have access to hours of content, a place to ask questions, and weekly coaching calls to help you be the amazing homeschool mom you are called to be. To sign up, go to www.coachmegthomas.com/join. I can't wait to see you there.